We are studying together the book of Joshua, and we have begun a study of the commission of Joshua for the mighty task that God had called him to. And we said that the commission of Joshua might be examined in relation to three problems with which God had to deal with Joshua. The first problem with which God had to deal with Joshua was the matter of idolization. There was a temptation on the part of Joshua, as well as on the part of others, to idolize Moses, the mighty man of God. We said, of course, there was ample reason for that, because Moses was an unusual individual, no prophet like him, save the Lord Jesus Christ, who exceeded him. And we said that God was going to have to deal with Moses, not only in regard to idolization, but in regard to appropriation and regard to intimidation. We were looking at how God dealt with Joshua in relation to the subject of idolization, suggesting, as we compared Scripture with Scripture, that Joshua, as we, had a responsibility not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, nor to think of himself less than he ought to think, but to recognize that Moses had his gift of grace and Joshua has his gift of grace. As we continue our study today, another thing is brought to our attention in this portion of the Word of God, and that is the folly of overemphasizing means. What do I mean by that? Well, let's go back to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and notice verse 11. When God recorded there was not a man like Moses, he also emphasized there was not a man who exercised the power that Moses exercised in signs and wonders in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, and there was not a man who had a mighty hand such as Moses had. Joshua, I am quite sure, because human nature is still the same today as it was then, and it was the same then as it is today, looked with fear and trembling upon the task that was before him. He didn't even have a rod. Moses had a rod. Moses could stretch out the rod and the sea waters would fall back. Joshua had none such, and nobody felt his incapability more than he. He had never performed a miracle, and there is no record that he ever did. But it is important to remember that in all probability, he thought, how am I going to get these people to follow me? They will begin to compare me and my ministry with the ministry of Moses, and my ministry will appear so insignificant in the light of Moses' ministry that I won't be able to carry on. And so I say to you, God said to Joshua, there is a folly of overemphasizing means and methods. Will you turn with me, please, to Paul's letter to the Philippians, as we remind you that the Apostle Paul recognized that in his life there had been great attainments, great accomplishments, but he could not rest upon the accomplishments of the past. There is something to do other than rest upon the past. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 11, he speaks of his desire of attainment, and then he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, that is mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul felt that God had laid his hand on his shoulder for a purpose. God had laid his hand upon the shoulder of Joshua for a purpose too. Paul said, I want to be sure that I fulfill that purpose. In verse 13 he said, I do not feel up to this moment. I cannot count myself to have apprehended. I don't feel right at this moment that I have apprehended. But there is one thing I do. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is all most people do, press on. But if you're following in your Bibles as we examine the Scripture, you notice that I left out a sizable segment of the Scripture, didn't I? Those of you who are looking at your Bibles realize that. I left it out that I might emphasize it again. You will notice in the last part of verse 13, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." God said to Joshua, as I ask you to turn back to that portion of the Word of God now, "Joshua, there is a time to forget, and this is it." Moses has been a tremendous blessing to everybody concerned. He has fulfilled the ministry to which I have called him. But I buried Moses, and it's time for you now to forget Moses and to go on in the path that God leads. Now, this does not mean that he would not share pleasant memories related to the ministry of Moses. It means simply that he would not be reminding himself of how weak he was in comparison to the mighty Moses, and that he, Joshua, would not listen to all of the reminders that he would be receiving from well-meaning people who would be quick to tell him that his ministry was not as effective as the ministry of Moses. One of the saddest things that young preachers have to face is to be constantly reminded of older men who have preceded them and how effective the older men's ministries were. No man knows how long he will be permitted to minister in any certain place. Most men would like to think that God would give an extension of days and that they might be able to minister a long time in any place where God has led them. But I'm saying to you, my friend, and I have made it implemental in my own life, that when it comes time to step down in the providence of God, and God sends someone else to take up the torch of my own ministry, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, I hope the mistake will not be made of reminding the person who takes up the torch what I have done. For nothing can be quite so discouraging to a young minister as being reminded of what somebody else did. Each man has his own ministry, and each of us should recognize that the ministry oftentimes closes when the man dies. Not the final result of the ministry, but the ministry that was related to that man. Sometimes I believe that the ministry to which God has called men, in which he has used them as founders, has continued long after their usefulness has been gone, because someone tried to carry on someone else's ministry. It isn't important that the ministry of any man be continued. It is important that the ministry of God's Word be continued. It isn't important that the ministry of Moses be continued, God said to Joshua. It is important that you are ready to take over at this particular place where I have brought the people through the ministry of Moses. So I want to say to you a word, as God said it to Joshua, concerning appropriation. For that's the second thing we want to talk about. God had to deal with Joshua and the people in relation to idolization, making an idol out of Moses. Now he would deal with them about appropriation. Did you notice how many times God said in the chapter that he had already given the children of Israel the land, the borders upon which they sat? He had already given it to them? Well, notice Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." In verse 6, you find the word "give." again in verse 13, and again in verse 14, and again in verse 15, and several times over in those verses, God is the giving God. Everything that the children of Israel needed in relation to a homeland, God had given them. And since we are drawing analogies, I would like for you to turn with me to the Epistle of Peter. Recognize in the second epistle in which Peter wrote that the same thing that God said to Joshua concerning the material land of Canaan, the Spirit of God says to us concerning the spiritual blessings which are provided for us. In the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, notice verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, all things, all things. I can't say that enough. God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How often have you and I said, well, I wish I had more power. I wish I had more faith. I wish I had greater strength. My friend, you've got it. God has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness, in verse 3, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In this book at which you are looking, the Bible, and the book which I hold in my hand at the moment, the canon of which was completed hundreds of years ago, in this book are exceeding great and precious promises which God has given to you. You are familiar with them. What have you done about claiming them? My, it is important for you to appropriate the blessing of God through the Word of God. God gave the land, but he said to Joshua, you need to appropriate it. God has given to us the promise, and he says to us, you need to claim the promise. Learn to claim your promise today.